Session number 15590, Phil Plowright, Reel 14.
Mr. Plowright, Reel 14. We'll talk about when you got back to Italy in early 45. You landed at Tarantino. What happened next?
We moved up, back up to the battle areas, and we were assembled there, and nothing much happened. And then we...
thought you were going back into...
Yes, yes. But it was being... There was no great urgency, obviously, because we were sort of laying about, as I remember. I forget the name of the place. It was north, well north of Rome. No, I can't remember the place. Country area, anyway. And it was then that the war ended. I wish I could remember the place. Somebody would no doubt remember it.
It could be recorded somewhere.
Yes.
What do you remember of VE Day, or, you know, that period?
Right.
Any celebrations at all?
Yes, we were in bivouacs. Two men to a tent. And it was way out in the country. There's no cities or no towns very anywhere near. And we heard that the war had ended, and there was a special delivery of beers and things brought up, and we had some trestle tables in a field, and we had our company had a little party, and there was all this beer, and all the NCOs and officers had got plenty of spirits, and we got a great big drum. And a really big one, I think about 25-gallon drum, probably more than that. And all the NCOs and officers poured their spirits and wines into this drum, and the blokes were just dipping the mugs in it. And the mugs were awful things. They were chipped and stained, but they served all right, and there was quite a lot of hilarity. One particular thing I remember, that one lad in the platoon... He was getting a little bit out of hand, so they said they'd get him back to his bivouac. So two of them took him back to his bivouac and shoved him in the bivouac and were trying to lace the front up and bending down to lace the front of the bivouac up, and a fist shot through the bit of opening and hit this other fellow in the eye. He got a huge black eye. I remember that vividly. I don't remember who it was. But that was the only thing I remember about VE Day, this party where everybody got really tanked up.
How did you feel about the end of the war? Yourself?
I don't know, really. I think it took me a little bit by surprise. I never had time to think about it. It all seemed, what's going to happen now? Are we going home? And... No, I never really thought about that. The only thing I thought about was going back home at that time.
So you certainly didn't go back home, did
you? No.
What happened next, then?
We it sort of fizzled out, and the battalion started to move north to go through Yugoslavia, Trieste and that sort of thing, Udine, into Austria. These towns were right on the border with Italy and Austria. And the commanding officer sent for me, and
what was his name at that time?
It was Colonel Welshman. And he said, I want you to take a truck and go to Milan and see if you can purchase some instruments for your band. He was very interested in this entertainment thing. So there were three or four of them. I'm not sure whether Wally was there or not, but there were three or four of them that wanted instruments that were instrumentalists. There was a trumpet player and a sax player, and we hadn't got instruments for them. And... So I went off in this truck to Milan, and the battalion moved up towards Austria. I think I was away about 3 weeks or a month. And Milan was... It was chaotic in Milan. The partisans were walking about with machine guns and grenades slung round them and challenging everybody. And there weren't many British people there, British troops there at all. And they were having a right old time, these partisans. They'd been fighting against the Germans, so they said. We don't know that, of course, but... And they'd just strung Mussolini up. Things were very excitable, and I was pleased to get away from Milan. But we got the instruments that we wanted, and we got a movement order from the town major. The battalion had moved up to a certain area, and we caught them up. And we caught them up about 20 miles away from a town called Udenburg, which the battalion subsequently moved into. And they took all the billets and things over, and we were in Udenburg quite a few weeks. It did a very good production.
Who were the acts?
There were various ones. Hallett and Binch were the stars. There was the orchestra, well, the band on stage, and there was, we did various sort of sketches with selected people to appear in them. They weren't stars in their own right, but one fella from Wales, had a very good baritone voice. Tom Hughes, he was called. And he always got a good reception. He was very good. He'd been doing it quite a long time previous. But he did a really good one on this particular night. Fred Taylor was a... If he'd been around these days, he would probably have been better than he was then. He was very much like Sinatra. Had a laid-back style, probably a little bit in front of his time as far as these lads were concerned, but he's very good. He's still around, he's Fred. He appeared at the last reunion. Nice to see him. Johnny Robinson and Pat Mackay, they were a duo as well. They took part in a lot of sketches and had lots of very humorous parts to play, but it was mostly a joint effort, rather than particular soloists. And we were so good that we knew that he was decent, but we got, there were people that were coming from other battalions to see it while it was in Udenburg at the cinema there, and we were invited to appear in their locations. And we did a show at the DLIs and... Others, I remember that particularly, went over there and set up on stage. It was a two-day job. We had to have a day to set up. And we did the show, and we did very well. It was a sad thing when we had to pack it up, when people started to get demobbed and that. You know, it was very sad that all these lads that we'd been together for a lot of weeks rehearsing and performing and... when they started to go, it was a little bit melancholy.
Did you have any other duties while you were at Udenburg?
No, they were just entertainment.
How were you getting on with the Austrians, the civilians?
We weren't allowed to fraternise at that stage. Fraternisation was forbidden.
Was that obeyed, that order?
Generally, I think, yes. What was done was very clandestine, no doubt.
Was the overall mood hostile or friendly?
It was neither. It was neither. They were neither hostile nor friendly. I think they were a bit suspicious about us, obviously. but it wasn't deliberately hostile, neither was it friendly.
So, you were at Udenberg a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a while.
Yes.
And then you don't remember the next place.
I ought to do, because there's some very interesting happenings. It was a small village, and I was at battalion headquarters then, because the band and the concert party were still functioning and performing, and I'd got lots of duties like playing at officers' mess dances, and there was plenty for me to do at BHQ. And there was a swimming pool in this place, not a very big one, and we used to gather down there in the afternoons. It was gorgeous weather. And the Padre came down, Padre Bloor. And he was a very nice bloke, but he was more of an academic than an athletic. And he didn't look sort of fitting at the side of the pool. And he was walking about with his bathing costume down over his knees. They used to call them bathing costumes then. They didn't call them what they call them now, whatever it is. And he was smoking his pipe, and as he walked down the side of the pool, somebody nudged him in, and he dropped into the swimming pool with his pipe in his mouth, and he came to the surface, and he'd still got his pipe in. And they hauled him out, and he was trying to light his pipe, and of course it was wet through. The tobacco was wet through. But he was a nice bloke, Padre Bloor. I remember that vividly. And on another occasion, we'd got an RSM, and he was not a well-liked character. Everybody was against him. And he was certainly against entertainment and the like. And it came on orders that I'd got to do a guard commander, be the guard commander, and have a number of people with me doing this guard, whatever it was. And I'd been excused ordinary duties due to the things that I was doing by the adjutant. And this bloke was determined that I'd got to be on guard, and I had a bit of a job to assemble all my gear, which I'd put away. All brasses and things like that were being shone again, and boots were being shone, and I'd been wearing shoes and sort of loose order rather than regimental order. And I had to rake around and get all my stuff together, and I got it ready, and the adjutant heard that I'd been put on guard by this RSM. And I got a note saying that I was excused guard. And the RSM also received this note, and which put him against me even more than he was already. And the subsequent thing was we moved up further to near Graz. And Battalion HQ was Battalion HQ was at Leibnitz, and our company were posted out to a place called Spielfeld, which was about 20 miles or so from Leibnitz. And this RSM, I was with Battalion HQ, and there was a big dance in the place there for the sergeant's mess, and I was playing there. I nearly got this RSM's name then. It'll come to me. And the RSM came to the dance, and all the sergeants were there with their now legally fraternising type girlfriends. They could they could fraternise by now, and did. And they'd all got girlfriends in there, and they were dancing and drinking and what have you. And the RSM, he sat by himself at the table in the corner, being unpleasant and drunk. And he left the mess and went back to the BHQ across the road where his quarters were. And I remember the orderly room was, and his sort of place was up some stone steps. And he was found the next morning at the bottom of the steps with various broken ribs and collarbone and all the rest of it, and he was shipped home. and before it was mobilised for abroad, I didn't know, before I joined the battalion. But all these old, long-time people like Reg Markham, for instance, he would know what his name was, but a very unpleasant man.
So you were, although your company was at Spielfeld, you were at Leibnitz, was it?
Yes, and eventually I went to Spielfeld, back to Spielfeld.
Were you aware of any of the things going on in Austria with the Cossacks?
And yes.
The
oh, yes.
Did you have anything to do with yes,
that? Yes, it did, yes. So many men from each company were mobilised, well, with rifles and things like that, to go up into the surrounding areas and round up these blokes, these Cossacks, as they were. They were Hungarians, and very friendly they were, and outgoing, and made us very welcome. And they put on a display of horse riding for us, and they were doing some marvellous things, bareback on horses. And we had to bring the troops in, bring the men in, and they'd got wagons and wives and kids and horses. We had to bring them all in. And the men and the families were train-loaded and shipped off to Yugoslavia. And into Yugoslavia, and we were allowed to keep a lot of horses for our own recreation, which we did.
Did they object when they found they were being shipped back to Yugoslavia?
They thought they were going home. Apparently, it turns out that they finished up in Russia. But the Russians were obvious, and we didn't know this at the time. I only learned this in the last few years. It never struck me at that time that anything untoward was happening, apart from the fact that they didn't like being put on these trains, but they thought they were going home. They seemed very comfortable where they were. They were living like gypsies out in the countryside, and they seemed to get on well with the local people. They didn't have any difficulties with them, so they were accepted locally. It turned out subsequently that they were being sent home, sent to Russia for execution.
What about the horses that were left
behind? The horses, they were rounded up, and then instead of the company having its own horses, they were put into a battalion centre area, and and then they were allotted then to the company. We had two out at Spielfeld. I'd moved out from Leibnitz back to Spielfeld and resumed duties there. By now, been there quite a good time. The summer had gone and the snow was on the ground, so I started skiing then. And I'd never done any skiing before, but I took to it in a very enjoyable way, and I was skiing all day in the slopes around Spielfeld. And Major Tullock, the company commander, and I were sent to a ski school which had been run by the German army. The German army trained ski troops at this particular school, and it was near Udenburg, in the mountains around Udenburg. I went up there and had a couple of weeks course up there, and during which time Major Tulloch broke his leg and never saw him again. Major Lord took the company over, and I think Major Tulloch was demobbed after that or sent to in England anyway. He was sent home. Never saw him again until the reunion about 3 or 4 years ago, and he's since died. But we were in Spielfeld, and it was while we were at Spielfeld that the battalion as such disbanded.
Did you ever go to Vienna? Or
yes, I did. I went there with the Loyal Regiment.
But you didn't go with...
Foresters, no, no.
How did you feel about... Would that be February the battalion was 46?
Hmm.
Then.
About then, yes.
How did you feel when the battalion was disbanded? Or was there much left to disband?
Well, there wasn't much left to disband. A lot of the older people, the people that were earlier groups, release groups than me, for instance, had gone. People like Johnny Robinson, he'd gone, and Reg Markham had gone, and many others that were well known to me, they'd gone back home. And a lot of the younger ones were transferred to the Loyals and other regiments. I got posted to the Loyals. Loyals, yeah, I don't remember whether... I know they had a different cap badge to us, but it didn't seem to strike me as being very... it wasn't the same anyway. Wasn't the same being with another regiment.
Where were they based?
We went to a place called Radkersburg, which was on the Yugoslav... Austrian frontier. And that had been occupied by the Russians, because the Russians had built a memorial there in concrete. It was an awful thing, right in the middle of the town. And I think we were there, I was there about 6 months. I was made a colour sergeant, and took over the company quartermaster's job there.
What did that consist of? Do you remember much about it?
Yes, I was responsible for all the rations, the accommodation stores, clothing and things like that, the usual things that quartermasters were doing. And three times a week I had to attend a quartermaster's conference meeting about 40 miles from where I was, from 40 miles from Radkersburg. And on two of the days, I used to go on the ration truck, bring the rations, but on the other day, I used to ride a motorbike down there. And the roads were appalling, and I always finished up getting punctures and pushing the thing back home. Remember, I did an awful thing walking, pushing this motorbike. The countryside was very rustic, to say the least, the peasants all around. And it became a bit of a tiresome thing, this riding the motorbike down to wherever it was, I forget where the battalion, where the headquarters were. And then we got the order that we were moving to Vienna. Which we did ultimately, obviously. And Vienna, we did nothing in Vienna. We did various duties, but I didn't do anything like that. I was busy with this quartermaster Lark, and all I did there was swim. I used to go to the Schönbrunn Park, where the palace, where the Austrian emperor bloke used to be. That was the palace of the royal family of Austria at that time, that were previous to the Nazis taking over. Beautiful swimming pool and lovely accommodation. And while I was there, I got in with a German orchestra that was being used, that was being subsidised by a lot of our lads that were musicians. And I played in this on occasions, which was very, very enjoyable. But most of the time I seemed to spend lounging about by this lovely swimming pool in the Schönbrunn Palace grounds. Harry Bennett was there. We were great friends then, and he was a wonderful swimmer, and we spent a lot of happy hours together.
Now, one thing it might have been actually when you were still with the Foresters. What about the bigger sports day?
Oh, yes.
When was that at?
Grads.
That was when you were the show at Foresters?
Yes.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, it was something of a flop as far as I was concerned. Our commanding officer had pledged our band to play at. There was a big thing there. There was a big water sports and all that sort of thing there. And I was in the band and couldn't compete. And I missed it. Anyway, I just went in for the water polo. And because the band was playing down the side of this lovely pool in Graz, and I stripped off and went in the water polo, and we got a second. I didn't win it, but I got a certificate for being in the water polo.
And the other thing perhaps I should have asked about, did you have demob parties as people were leaving?
No, we didn't, no. When we were at Spielfeld, there was a lot of guys there that had been with in other places. I mentioned Arthur Beardsall, who'd been with the intelligence, with VHQ. He was posted out to Spielfeld. And Jock Mackay, who was in the concert party, he'd been in the carriers, and he was sent out to Spielfeld. So they were sort of consolidating what they'd got into smaller areas. And Harry Bennett, he came out there because that was when he shot the statue thing.
What happened there?
We used to man a frontier post with Yugoslavia. They were on one side of this river bridge. A big river ran through the border, over the border, which divided, as far as the military were concerned, Yugoslavia and Austria. And the Yugoslavs were at one end of the bridge and we were at the other. And we manned our side and they manned their side. And we also did border patrols. Patrol went out down the border to see what was happening. Nothing much was happening. And